From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Riley talks about the dedication of the first phase of the Iowa State University Veterinary Diagnostic Lab with Director Roger Main. Andy gives us a look at how he's preparing for planting season at his family's farm, and Dustin has coverage on the current state of trade on the Mississippi River. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Well, there's corn planting going on across the state. I have been told, at least, here as we kick off Iowa Ag Matters on a Thursday, a little on the windy side today for too many other applications. But Dustin had a nice chat with our friends at the Farm Progress Show this morning, and the demonstration corn is expected to be complete planting of it by tomorrow. So
holy cow,
maybe not quite what you thought when I said corn planting had started, but
well, you know, I figured it
counts, doesn't it?
It does count. I figured that with you saying that, you know, corn planting, I figured it was at least a neighbor. And I know that, you know, even if it is the Farm Progress Show with demonstration plots, I'm sure you are itching to go, Andy. I know we'll be talking about that a little later on in the program. I know as you're getting ready to roll yourself with the planters, but you know, and speaking of windy, Andy will have a lot more on that coming up. But but anyway, you know, yeah, so I mean, obviously, people chomping at the bit. I'm sure there are corn planting. There is corn planting going on, you know, in earnest or getting really close, if not already. And so excited again. And as we've said yesterday, too, it's a matter of make sure you take your time. Make sure you are being safe. That is paramount. And, of course, all you coming up on tractors and planters out there in the on the roadways, make sure you're giving them a wide berth and a little patience out there as well. Let's go ahead and get things going with the markets. Eric Ralph with Comstock joining Mark Magnuson.
Joined today by Eric Ralph of Comstock for our opening market discussion. It is WASDE day. Eric, what are we seeing taking place in the grains?
Well, overnight trade was a little bit of a mixed bag. You had corn somewhat supported with soybeans and wheat a little weaker for the day. Yesterday, we saw soybeans take a little thump in, and we saw double-digit losses there. That, I think, just report prep trade. And then you saw a little rebound from a setback in the wheat. You know, you had 2 days down and then come into yesterday and get a little rebound, particularly in the Kansas City wheat. And then just some squaring up here again ahead of today's report at 11. So that's what it's all going to be about for the first few hours of the day here. And we'll just have to see what the numbers show us when we get to that point. And really, export sales didn't do us any favors this morning across the board. Wheat, corn, soybeans, if they made the range of estimates, they were bottom third at best. Soybeans were actually the only number that fell within the range. Corn and wheat were both below. And I don't see what's going to give us any impetus here prior to the report. So it's going to be all about the numbers at 11.
For those numbers here today, what are you going to be looking at right away to try and find out when the report is released?
First thing I'm going to be looking at is, does USDA make any sizable adjustment to the Brazil soybean production number? That'll be the first data point to look for. Then the Brazil corn number. Then you go to the U.S. numbers, then Argentina. So in that order, that's kind of how I'll be analyzing things. And I would assume that most of the trade would be looking at it that way. You know, the USDA is still well above CONAB. That's not to say that either one is absolutely right, because we know anybody can make mistakes. Anybody can be right. Anybody can be wrong. And until we get all the grain in, we just don't know what their total production number is. But we are seeing some private estimates start to revise upwards a little down in Brazil. And that's mostly due to additional acres after the intentions that we saw before the growing season. So they expected to see a certain number of acres planted. That's what they were basing their estimates on due to the performance of the crop during the growing season. Then at the end of it all, they find out, well, there may have been some more acres put in than what we anticipated. And so we have to make revisions as we come to the conclusion of the crop year. So a lot of unknown there, and it'll be interesting to see, does the USDA come further towards CONAB, or do they stand their ground and say, no, let's wait and see what this looks like in another month?
Well, we'll be hearing more from Eric Ralph at Comstock Investments coming up a little later on in the program to talk livestock. Right now, Andy Peterson's in with round one of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Continuing to advance the usage of drones in agriculture and find more efficient uses, Kevin Kennedy, one of the farmer owners at Landis Cooperative, says he utilizes drones more for scouting, gathering specific data on things like the efficacy of fertilizer applications.
You know, when it comes to utilizing data, we already put the dry fertilizer in place, and that's all precision application. It's all 100% under the plant. Now we're going to look at prescription seeding, And once the prescription seeding is done, then we're going to use drone scouting to actually give us population counts, exact population counts over the entire field. So once the drones are deployed for that and we've got our stands established and everything is through that window, then we have to look at post-weed control, because we've already taken care of the pre right after we plant. We go through and take care of the pre at that point.
Yeah, he says the technology allows him to look very specifically at entire fields, which is something almost impossible to do any other way.
Number two.
Accepting applications for water quality implementation and demonstration projects is the Iowa Department of Agriculture, where Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nagy says they have, quote, set records for conservation implementation each of the last 2 years, and they are, quote, actively seeking more partners to get more practices in place. He adds the applications must be submitted to the Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship by 4:30 on Friday, May 24th. And details can be found on our website at iowaagnet.com.
Number one.
Happening soon, the Energy Department's emissions model release, which will decide tax credits for sustainable aviation fuel. According to U.S. EPA Administrator Michael Regan, the model will be ready, quote, in the near future. Now, Iowa Senator Charles Grassley says the final GREET model may place one of three growing conditions on corn, soybeans, or other SAF feedstocks. But he says the Energy Department, EPA, and USDA don't understand the commingling of grain.
You carry it to the elevator, whether you use one of these three principles or not, and I think most farmers would fall into at least those first two categories of cover crops and minimum tillage, you aren't going to know whether the farmers practice that or not.
He says the USDA needs to make clear to other government agencies the process of grain handling. White House has set a target of 3 billion gallons of SAF by 2030. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, there are a lot of considerations, of course, that we're taking into account factors before making the decision to go out and plant. Ironically enough, it would have been the 12th of April a year ago in which we got started planting soybeans. Not sure that's going to take place this year, but we can talk about those factors coming up on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, as we get going here on Iowa Ag Matters, of course, we talked about earlier on in the program that planters are rolling over at the Farm Progress Show site in those demonstration fields, but planters rolling elsewhere. And I know, Andy, we've been talking about you've been itching to get going, and looks like it's all systems go here for you coming up this weekend. In fact, you're going to be starting to get things ready to roll tomorrow. So tell us kind of what you got planned.
Well, yeah, I think we've been getting things ready to roll for about the past month. It feels like about forever to be fully honest about it. And you know, the earliest that we've ever planted beans was last year. I mentioned the 12th of April. The biggest risk always is a late freeze, like we were talking about a little earlier in the week, provided, of course, that soil conditions are fit, temperatures are where they need to be, and they are. We mentioned yesterday, officially gotten over 50 degrees in all of the state from a soil temperature perspective. That's looking to continue to rise here for the next few days as the overnight low temperatures are continuing to get higher, and the rain, it looks like maybe some showers today, but by and large looks like it's going to hold off until sometime in the middle of next week. But you know, it's got to get sprayed. We're going to finalize some fertilizer applications between now and then. You know, there's a couple more adjustments to make on the planter. So there's always a possibility of something breaking, right? Screwing
well,
up the best
way plans. To be optimistic there, Andy.
Well, because it all happens. There's a lot of moving parts and a lot of machinery. And you know, usage requires maintenance, sometimes not when maybe it's ideal within a planting window. But provided all of that stuff goes the way that it should, it won't be a, you know, constant, you know, long days, real efficient, probably, planting this weekend. But, you know, go out and do a percentage, make sure that everything's set and any final adjustments that need to be made get made, and no leaks in air lines or hydraulic lines or any of that sort of thing. You know, the research certainly shows the benefits of early planting from a, you know, nodes standpoint, from a pods standpoint, and translating to yield, as long as they survive, you know, frost. So if you can tell me how cold the temperatures are going to get, and if there's going to be any overnight lows down into the 20s in May right now, then I'll tell you whether how many acres of soybeans we should be planting, given that it's fit. So what say you there, Mr. Hoffman, on cold temperatures in May?
Hey, you know, I always expect at least one snap, but then again, I also expect a normal winter, and we didn't have one of those either. So, and I think I've mentioned before, when it comes to predicting the weather, Andy, if I could do that, I would be in a different tax bracket altogether. And so I'm hoping, and just like anybody else, you know, that's what it is. It's eternal optimism in the agriculture industry when you're farming, when you're planting that seed. And so along with you guys, I always hope that everything is there, the conditions are there, and that Mother Nature doesn't decide to throw too many curveballs, rather, as you get things going. So, Andy, we will be missing you around here tomorrow, but we know you got to get that stuff done. And we'll continue with Iowa Ag Matters coming up in just a moment.
April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
Well, coming up a little bit later on, we'll talk more about the new veterinary diagnostic lab at Iowa State University, state-of-the-art animal care, and it should be for a $32.5 billion industry here in Iowa. Next, though, statewide elevator prices with Dustin on Iowa Ag Matters.
It's time to run down those basis numbers for you here on Iowa Ag Matters on this Thursday, April the 11th. I'm Dustin Hoffman. Not seeing much movement one way or the other here. Let's go ahead and take a look at the numbers today. Let's start at ADM Burlington. They're 3 cents under on corn today, $4.32. Soybeans a dime under at $11.48. At Cargill and Eddyville, they're a nickel over on corn, cash bid $4.40. New Co-op Algona, 2 cents over on corn, $4.37. Soybeans 55 cents under at $11.03. Ag State Sheldon, they are 25 cents over on corn today at $4.60. Soybeans 65 cents under at $10.93. Ag State Alta, 9 cents under on corn. They're at $4.26. Soybeans 55 cents under at $11.03. At Cargill Cedar Rapids, they are 15 cents over on corn, rather, at $4.50. Soybeans a nickel under. Their cash bid, $11.53. Nexus and Marble Rock, 15 cents over on corn, $4.50. Soybeans 45 cents under at $11.13. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, 12 cents over on corn, $4.47 for the cash bid. ADM Des Moines, 15 cents under on soybeans, that cash bid, $11.43. New Co-op Red Oak, a nickel under on corn, $4.30, soybeans 50 cents under at $11.08. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 15 cents under on corn, cash bid $4.20, soybeans 50 cents under at $11.08. New Co-op Sheraton, 12 cents under on corn, $4.13, soybeans 55 cents under at $11.03. Walk On Feed Ranch, 8 cents under on corn. They're at $4.27. Soybeans, 34 cents under at $11.24. New Co-op Glidden, 2 cents over on corn. Cash bid, $4.37. Soybeans, 50 cents under. They're at $11.08. Innovative Ag Services Farley, 3 cents over on corn, $4.38. Soybeans, 40 cents under. Cash bid, $11.18. Cargill Muscatine 4 cents under on corn, 431. Soybeans 11 cents under at 1147. Cash corn and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevators when making sales to obtain the most recent price. And that's been a check of the basis numbers here on Iowa Ag Matters. We'll be right back.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
We've still got more market information yet to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of the midday numbers. Mark and Andy will have that for you coming up in just a little bit. Don't forget about the free market podcast. 3 times a day, market analysis sent free of charge to your mobile device through Amazon, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Podbean. And you can find the replays at iowaagnet.com. More Iowa Ag Matters still coming up.
Fantastic news earlier this week for the state of Iowa here on Iowa Ag Matters. Andy, Dustin, Mark, and Riley, your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture. They broke ground, cut the ribbon all at the same time, phase one of the new veterinary diagnostic lab at Iowa State University, and then got going on phase number two. It's certainly a collaborative project to support a large animal industry, not only here in Iowa, but across the Midwest. And Riley now has more with Director Roger Main.
You know, there was the dedication for the first phase of the new facility at Iowa State. Tell us a little bit about that dedication and the project that's going on right now.
Right. So their last Thursday afternoon on April 4th, we had the it was a dedication ceremony, and it was actually twofold. It was actually the ribbon cutting for what we call phase one of the new veterinary diagnostic lab building here on the Iowa State University College of Veterinary Medicine campus. Okay, and that project is just finishing, and that is a essentially the first part of a two-phase project. And so it was the dedication for the ribbon cutting for phase one, and then it was the groundbreaking for phase two, or essentially the back half of the veterinary diagnostic lab being built here at the campus of Iowa State University.
And I think what's interesting about this is it's not just you know, to build on what's already there, but it's kind of the hub of innovation. You know, I see here in the press release, because you know, when you have the minds of, you know, one of the top vet programs in the nation, you know, to have all of that available to them, all the resources they need to really figure stuff out and you know, make new developments, that's obviously something we really want to see, right?
Sure. Yeah, the Iowa State Veterinary Diagnostic Laboratory here here on campus, and we're actually located on the College of Veterinary Medicine campus, which is right off of Highway 30 and University Avenue here in Ames. And we're actually somewhat unique in that we, of course, do all species, and we're the only fully accredited and the official lab, veterinary diagnostic lab for the state of Iowa. But we're also the largest food animal center diagnostic laboratory in North America, and if not the world. And so because of that, we have this really very rich flow of diagnostic case material that descends to Ames from across Iowa and really throughout the country each day, again specifically for the food animal related work. And really that source of case material flowing to the lab really serves as a very rich environment for the applied research questions that are of high interest to our stakeholders and clients, and also is used in some very real world teaching material for the teaching and the training of the next generation of veterinarians.
Right, and of course, you know, we have here that is $141.5 million project. Got funding from the state of Iowa, federal resources, donors, and Iowa State University. So, you know, of course we know how important animal agriculture is to Iowa agriculture. And I think it's a great thing to see kind of people from all different sources coming together to make sure that the education in the state is top of the line as well.
Oh, for certain. And like I had mentioned in some remarks at the ceremony, and it's like, you know, while the lab here, we play a role of providing a comprehensive veterinary diagnostic services that's, you know, really far reaching across the full spectrum of companion animals, wildlife, and mitigating the risks of zoonotic diseases of high consequences from spilling over from animals to people. But, you know, the core really of our team here really centers on playing a behind the scenes role in safeguarding and bettering the health and well-being and competitiveness of Iowa and U.S. animal agriculture.
Well, thanks a lot for that report, Riley. A lot of great information there. Andy Peterson is back now. He's got round two of his three big Iowa Ag Matters for you right now.
Number three.
Creeping higher, food prices in the month of March, albeit very, very small. In fact, it was 0.1%, the food price index increase, while the food at home index was unchanged. Both were unchanged in February as well, and three of the six major grocery store food indexes actually decreased over the past month, while the remaining three did have price advances.
Number two.
Continuing to advance the usage of drones in agriculture and find more efficient uses, Kevin Kennedy, one of the farmer owners at Landis Cooperative, says he utilizes drones more for scouting, gathering specific data on things like the efficacy of fertilizer applications.
You know, when it comes to utilizing data, we already put the dry fertilizer in place, and that's all precision application. It's all 100% under the plant. Now we're going to look at prescription seeding. And once a prescription seeding is done, then we're going to use drone scouting to actually give us population counts, exact population counts over the entire field. So once the drones are deployed for that and we've got our stands established and everything is through that window, then we have to look at post-weed control, because we've already taken care of the pre right after we plant. We go through and take care of the pre at that point.
Now, he says the technology allows him to look very specifically at entire fields, which is something almost impossible to do any other way.
Number one.
Happening soon, the Energy Department's emissions model release, which will decide tax credits for sustainable aviation fuel. According to U.S. EPA Administrator Michael Regan, the model will be ready, quote, in the near future. Now, Iowa Senator Charles Grassley says the final GREET model may place one of three growing conditions on corn, soybeans, or other SAF feedstocks. But he says the Energy Department, EPA, and USDA don't understand the commingling of grain.
You carry it to the elevator, whether you use one of these three principles or not, and I think most farmers would fall into at least those first two categories of cover crops and minimum tillage, you aren't going to know whether the farmers practice that or not.
He says the USDA needs to make clear to other government agencies the process of grain handling. White House has set a target of 3 billion gallons of SAF by 2030. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, as promised, we got a complete rundown of those midday livestock and grain numbers for you to see what is going on out there. Mark and Andy have that next. Of course, we have the big WASDE report out as well. Get all that information next on Iowa Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
This is the midday market update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Joined today by Brian Doherty of Total Farm Marketing for our midday market discussion. Brian, what are we seeing taking place in the grains today here on a WASDE report day?
Sure. So we're seeing, it looks like general consolidation, corn off a penny in the front month, May, steady on the back months, beans off 78. Again, expectation is that you might see ample inventories both domestically and worldwide. And the bean market technically has looked a little soft. Wheat prices trading about a nickel over there in Chicago, Kansas City off about the same. So just want to take a look here, projected carryout for U.S. corn in April, 2.122 billion bushels. Mark, the average estimate was 2.105. So I'd call that neutral, but someone might call that slightly negative. Still 50 million bushels lower than the March estimate. Wheat came in at 340, average estimate 319. That's a little bit negative for wheat. I'm sorry. Let me straighten out. That's soybeans, 340 million. Average estimate was 319. March was 315. But in wheat, 697. 685 was the pre-report estimate. So both the bean and wheat carry out, and corn as well, come in just a little bit higher than the expectations.
That was Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing. That's the latest on the grains. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
As always, we start in the beef trade. Mark, daily estimated cattle slaughter total at 112,000 head. That is 13,000 less than a week ago and 12,000 less than a year ago. Boxes are sharply lower here today after the big jump earlier in the week. There were 86 loads of choice cut selling to 98.23 down 386, select down 388 to 296.02 on just 19 loads of movement, spread widening just a bit to only $2.21. As far as pork goes, daily estimated slaughter total numbers at 489,000 head. That's 2,000 less than a week ago and 22,000 more than a year ago. As far as the cash markets go here, let's wrap up yesterday's numbers comparatively. USDA's daily direct afternoon hog report showed over 6,000 head of negotiated purchases. Producers sold barrels and gilts on a carcass basis. Weighted average price down $313 to $90.63. Formula purchase 162,000 head, so a strong run there. Weighted average price $88.95, the market $1.20 higher. As far as what's happening at midday today, 2,800 head of negotiated purchases, so about an average run. We're $1.30 weaker, $88.23. Formula purchases 105,000 head of sales, so a light run there. Weighted average price is up $1.45 to $90.18.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
At midday, May corn is down 1.5 at 432 and 3 quarters. May soybeans down 8 and 3 quarters at 1156 even. May soybean meal up $1.30 at $332.20. May soybean oil down $1.51 at $46.09. On the Merck, April live cattle down 12 cents at $178.95. April feeder cattle down 42 cents at $237.85. May lean hogs up 97 cents at $97.52. May pork cutout down 45 cents at $104.42. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
There have certainly been some fireworks in the livestock markets here the last several days. The big move in choice and select boxes earlier in the week, the big jump as things, believe it or not, apparently had gotten too cheap at the retail counter. And some slaughter differences as well that are leading to some price discovery, I would say. As far as some technical analysis, we continue the conversation like always in this segment with the Livestock Focus. More with Mark and Eric Ralph from Comstock right now.
Let's go to the other side of the ag marketplace in the livestock complex. What's happening in the protein sector?
Well, cattle got thumped again yesterday. A lot of headlines stirring around about this avian flu, and then they've even dubbed it a new bovine flu to try to segregate it from the birds. But there were just headlines all over the world, honestly, and it seemed like some of the major media outlets that hadn't really been reporting on the earlier stages of it that we talked about last week all of a sudden came to life yesterday. And somewhere around the noon time frame, I was seeing dozens of headlines from media outlets all over about the fact that there was avian flu in cattle, which of course we've known that for 2 weeks now. Definitely some bad headlines stirring around, in addition to the box beef is struggling to maintain high levels for the first time in quite a while. This is a seasonal slump period for box beef, so not too much concern there as far as the beef prices go. But if the cattle can't catch some traction and we can't hold the boxes up there, then we're going to have some trouble. On the hogs, I think they got a little ahead of themselves. They were due for a correction. Then you come in with a higher than expected CPI. That hits the stock market pretty hard and puts a bunch of life into the dollar. All of that's going to be negative for both hogs and cattle. So I think it was a conjunction of all of those things. And the hogs could still correct several dollars before we're back to a healthy level that's more in line with current cash, especially on those summer months.
Eric Rolfe of Comstock, our guest here today. Eric, what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch for more marketing information?
Well, you can find us on all the social media outlets. You can visit the Comstock channel on YouTube, or you can go to our website at comstock.com, or just give us a call, 712-227-1110.
Thank you so much, Eric. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll speak again soon.
Sounds good, Mark. You too.
April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
Well, that old man river, she has been really affecting how we move grain and get goods up and down to the Corn Belt from the Gulf of Mexico. The Mississippi River, of course, not as low as it has been, but it still has a long ways to go to recover. We'll hear from the folks at Consolidated Grain and Barge coming up a little later on here, or next, I should say, on Iowa Ag Matters. So stay with us.
Well, with the moisture that's fallen in the eastern half of the state and over into Illinois, certainly helped some with the Mississippi River situation and the precipitation, winter precipitation up north melting as well. I heard a report that the Mississippi had come up something like 9 feet off of its lows, but it has more to come up as well. The latest now on the river situation, the Inland Waterway Transportation, what that means for marketing is Dustin sits down with our friends at Consolidated Barge Company.
It has been famed in song, story, and legend for as long as people have lived in what we commonly know as the Midwest. Of course, I'm talking about the Mississippi River, once referred to as the father of waterways by President Abraham Lincoln during the U.S. Civil War. The river has played a vital role in the growth of the economy as well as the civilization that we find ourselves in between the Appalachians and the Rockies. That's why when it's hurting, we're all hurting, because it's a vital part of who we are and how we make our living. Well, with the drier weather that's persisted over the past few years, and with historically low snowpacks this winter, the Mississippi River is not going to be returning to more normal levels anytime soon. This is especially true in the lower regions of the river system, where there are no lock and dam systems to help regulate the water levels. The upper system and its tributaries enjoy this level of water control. We all know that the Mississippi River is a vital artery for the Midwest and the Corn Belt for getting grain out and getting goods up to us from the Gulf Coast. Jason Selking is a regional general manager with Consolidated Grain and Barge, and he says the situation we've been dealing with these past few years has had a ripple effect on the grain shipments and the ag freight that comes back to us from the Gulf.
Those issues caused smaller size tows from maybe 42 barge tows down to as small as 25, which further restricts the speed and the velocity that grain can move along the Inland River system on its way to export, which further compounds things for our American farmer, as that causes a slowdown in inability to take grain for export from them as they are in their middle of their harvest, as it was the last 2 years.
And now that reduced capacity on the river does have an impact on grain prices that farmers get at their local elevators. The basis price has been fluctuating with the ups and downs of these facilities being able to move these products efficiently, especially when they have a barge to fill or a rail to fill to get to those barges.
If they don't have any grain moving or don't have an opening to move contract grain, they're not offering as good of a price.
To the degree we can, it would be wonderful if we could start a preventative or predictive dredging program so that annually in those trouble spots that have been identified or were issues in the last two seasons, it'd be wonderful if we could preemptively dredge those sections of the river to maintain adequate transit opportunities.
Selking says that farmers need to take advantage of any opportunity that presents itself because we have no way of predicting what the weather is going to do and what the quality of the water flow will be on the Mississippi River.
Well, I would certainly suggest that farmers take the opportunity while we have good river levels, while we are not pricing in extremely high barge freight levels as a result of low water because they're not here today. If they find those opportunities, I would recommend them take opportunity of to price ahead their grain in times where they would believe it are advantageous to them.
But Selking says we also need to make sure our voices are heard in the halls of Congress and remind lawmakers how important this vital waterway is to the economy between the mountain ranges.
We need to continue to, as agriculture as a whole, need to be advocates of ourselves. And as large users of the Inland River system, we should be advocating for policy that would be advantageous to the grain flow as it would be to the export Gulf.
And just to put it all in perspective, the Mississippi River set low-level records in each of the past 2 years around the Memphis area. This region of the river is vital for ag trade and goods, but it also creates some of the biggest headaches along the route. While Hank Williams Jr. may have likened the Mississippi River going dry to the end of times, we're nowhere near that level of panic yet.
April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
Well, like, just like that, we're at the end of another episode of Iowa Ag Matters. Been a busy day getting the recap of that WASDE information markets as well. And Andy, of course, he says he will be out there getting ready to get planting going tomorrow. So he'll be with us just briefly in the morning, but we wish him the best on that. And if you're out there in the field, make sure, again, you're being safe. You're watching for traffic around you. And, of course, taking all the precautions you need to keep yourself and those around you safe. Thanks to Andy. Thanks to Mark. Thanks to Riley for making us sound good, if not look good. And thanks to all of you for listening out there. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the Friday edition of Iowa Ag Matters. Have a good day.